Couldn't happen without you. And we're grateful for everyone who participated in it, man. What an awesome adventure. Can I just tell you, if you were looking at a cuteness scale, man, it was off the chart that day, man. It was something special. And you know what else I found out? And I forgot that we had put this in here because I wrote this introduction yesterday, and I was thinking, this world needs Jesus, right? Because I saw some of the parents in here. Man, the kid would like look at the egg and they're like, no. This world does need Jesus. And most of you are sitting here looking at me like, yeah, well, sure, Captain Obvious. But it really hit home for me. You know, this whole going for Christ thing, it really hit home for me because I got home the other day and I turned on the TV and I'm like, holy cow, I'm watching all this stuff about the war in Ukraine, right? All the things that are going on with the civilian population and all these towns. And then something happened that just really set me sideways. The Russian Orthodox Church is not only like behind this and all the stuff that's going on. You guys see the pictures? I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. The Russian Orthodox Church is given a full-throated endorsement on the biblical terms that this is justified. And I'm thinking, this world needs Jesus. I'm watching this whole thing unfold and I'm thinking, they're not going to, you know, think of it, the 2/3 of the grain that's produced goes to Africa. We're looking at potential food shortages, humanitarian crisis on global scales that we've not seen. And then I'm thinking, holy cow, I can't watch this anymore. So what do? I turn the channel and I find the state that I came from, South Carolina, has had 2 mass shootings in the same day. 2. You guys know what a mass shooting is? It's when 3 or more people at the same event have gunshot wounds. 3. You know that there's been 119 this year so far? This world needs Jesus. And I thought, okay, well, this isn't enough. I've got 6,000 channels. Pull another one. The whole Southwest is on fire. 25 major wildfires going on in the states of New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, and Oklahoma. Places that you don't normally think of when you think of wildfires, right? Normally you think that's a liberal problem because it all happens in the Pacific Northwest between Oregon and Washington. Right? And I'm thinking, oh, can it get any worse? Let's change the channel again. Variant Alpha Delta Foxtrot 4921. I'm like, great, another variant. Something for us to be paranoid about. Can I just tell you, when I went to seminary, variant and efficacy were not words that I would ordinarily use. But yet somehow I find myself putting those in everyday conversations now. Well, I'll just turn the TV off. I'll read the Danville commercial news. What are y'all laughing about? Front page of the paper, here we go, right? Here's a whole bunch of cats with a pile of dirt in front of them and all got shovels going to do a groundbreaking ceremony on ground that's already been dumped in front of them, but that's a whole other thing. We're building a casino. But for jobs. Here again, I lived in the Pacific Northwest. Every tribe up there had a casino, and you know what followed those casinos? Sex crimes, drug crimes, gambling addictions. And I'm thinking, man, this world needs Jesus. And then can't breathe. Inflation at an all-time high. And I'm thinking, holy cow, how much more can we put on the wagon of despair that people are dragging around? I mean, because they are, man. They get up every morning, and they're news, drama, inflation. Where's this? Why am I even getting out of bed? Depression and suicides, all-time highs. If the numbers are right, today, 132 people will die by their own hand. People need Jesus. And it really hit me. This whole thing really set me off. Because I still get the funeral notices and stuff for my old church down in South Carolina. And I learned that a dear friend of mine that I pastored down there took his own life. And I'm thinking, man, people need Jesus. And he knew Jesus. So, waking up today, those people out there who don't know the Lord, like, what's the point? What's the point? And yet we have this wonderful message. Hope, salvation, peace, love, joy. It should be all about us going for Christ and telling people of this wonderful gift that we have. You know, we had a what was our missionaries, Tony, that were here a few weeks ago? Who? Scott? Scott Coates and his wife. They were here a few weeks ago, and they were talking about all the work. We went to lunch with them, and we were talking about all the work that they had been doing and down there. And all of a sudden, they had a coup in Burma, and so their mission field's been like, but yet they're still going. They're still talking about Jesus. They're still taking a message out there of hope and love and peace. So last week we started talking about this going for Christ, and we looked at Luke chapter 9, and we talked about the 12 disciples being sent out. And so today we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at the same thing again, except this time Jesus sends out a whole bunch of people. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we're going to dive into Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Father God, Lord, we come before you today broken. Broken over the state of our nation, state of our world, state of our communities. Knowing full well, Lord, that a great price was paid for eternal life for us. That Jesus was offered himself up on the cross, Lord, so that we could have so much more than. And yet, Lord, there's so many people in our communities that are hurting right now and broken that don't know this love. They don't understand this love. They don't know what hope is. So, God, as we continue to understand and unpack your truth about what it means to be mission-minded and going for Christ, to tell the nations, to be your disciples. Lord, we just ask that you help us to feel this, Lord. Feel the brokenness that we have for people out there. Yet, Lord, today we come before you today, Lord, and we have our own things that we're thinking about. Maybe some things, Lord, that we've done that we're not so proud of this week, Lord, that we just need to know that we're loved. And so, Lord, during this time, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the love that was poured out on Calvary. Thank you for the blood shed, Lord, that makes us clean and whole and righteous. Thank you, Lord, for the life and the resurrection, Lord, that gives us the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Spirit, Lord, that helps us to understand your truth and your word. So, Lord, let your Spirit guide us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time we looked at Jesus sending out teams of two. Six teams went out to the nations of Israel with two things to do. One, first, proclaim the gospel. Just tell the truth. Second, they were to heal. And usually that was to emphasize what they were telling him to begin with. He didn't say go heal first and then proclaim the gospel. No, he said go out and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. And then if you don't believe you, then heal them so they'll know. And they did, and they went, and they came back, and they praised God for all they had done. We go through Luke chapter 9 after all this happens, and we see the transfiguration, and we see a whole bunch of other stuff, and now Jesus comes back together, and at this time, he's got about 150 followers. At his death, it was about 500, but at this point in his ministry, he had about 150 followers. So he gathers them all together, and he pulls out 70 of them, 72. About this many, give or take. So all of you guys, scoot up forward. No, seriously. I'm not kidding. You would think that they would want to listen to the pastor, right? So in our passage today, like I said, we're in Luke 10, and he says Jesus sends out the 72. I'm going to read this from the ESV, and I've got the words on the screen, but if you want to use your app or whatever you want to follow along with, that would be great. It says Jesus sends out the 72. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, oh, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I will tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than it is for that town. Guess who the laborers are? You got paid this morning, didn't you? You guys have them awesome Toll House cookie bars? Then you got paid. It's time to go to work. You guys have the cupcakes with the homemade icing? Yep. Then you got paid. Time to go to work. I want to show you just two things today. What? Just two? Yes, just two. But I'm not preaching any shorter. Reclaiming my time. I want to talk about the harvest, and then I want to talk about the challenges of the harvest. So let's start with the harvest. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. He says, after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself is about to go, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest. Just, oh, by the way, if you guys want to copy my sermon notes on the backside of your program, there's a QR code. If you'll shoot that, you can download that. It'll take you to a website, and you can have access to all these notes here. There's some debate as to why Jesus told 72, but what I do want you to know Jesus never did anything unless it wasn't intentional. It was everything that's intentional. So if he chose 72, he had a pretty good reason he was choosing 72. Amen? Some guess that the 72 represented all the nations of the world that are identified in Genesis. Pretty cool, huh? And so he gathers the 36 groups of two, and he says, let's go. Go and prepare the way. He does that. God seems to prepare the way a lot of times. He did so with John. He did so with the 12, and now he's preparing. He did so with Jesus. Now he's doing so with the 72. And he says, go every place that I'm about to go. And remember, the harvest is plentiful. Remember, another book, he said, he told the disciples, the fields are ripe for the harvest. That was right after he had talked to the woman at the well, and the brothers came back chastising him for talking to a woman, a divorcee, in the middle of the day, by himself. And he says, stop. Look around. Do you not see the fields are ripe and white and ready for the harvest? You know the best part about this story? It's not the work. It's the joy. It's the joy of the harvest. Listen to what John 4:36 says this. He said, the fruit they harvest is the people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester? You see, family, we put so much emphasis on the labor that we forget about the joy of the harvest, the joy that comes from the harvest. And it gets even easier because Jesus says, listen, I'm sending you out to reap what you didn't even sow. It's not like we got to go out there and work our tails off, because Jesus has already prepared the way. It's already set. Let me ask you guys a question. Would it be easier for us to go for Christ if we knew that the work had already been done and all we had to do was just pick it up and put it in a basket, so to speak? That we didn't really have to labor for it. All we had to do was gather it up. Just gather it up. How would our attitudes change if all we had to do was know that we were just going to finish the work? My wife and I are starting a garden. No, you can't have any. It's not that big a garden. I'm just kidding. We don't even know what we're planting yet. There are potatoes. So anyway, we started this garden. And I'm going to tell you, starting a garden where there was no garden is a whole lot of work. It's a lot of work. Till, fill, all the stuff that's got to be done. And then you plant. Then it kind of tails off, because then you got the nurturing side of things where you get to tend to weeds and do the watering and that sort of thing. And then you get the what? You get the harvest. You get the joy, man, of going out to your garden, man, and picking off fresh tomatoes for those of us that like tomatoes. You get to open up, man, and you get to put your shovel in the dirt and you turn over the mound, and then there's like this big, huge bounty of potatoes. And that's awesome. That is so awesome. You guys go to the farmer market? Why do you go to the farmer's market? Because it's fresh. We like the stuff. We have joy in the stuff that's fresh off the vine, right? There's something certainly sweet about the harvest. Jesus says, but you're the laborers, and the harvest is plentiful. Therefore, go and do the harvest. He says, but pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. What does that mean? Am I supposed to pray fervently? No, because that's different. Fervently means I have to pray with passion and intensity and enthusiasm. Praying earnestly has a whole different connotation. Jesus wants us to pray in a sincere and thorough and serious way, as if we're intending to succeed. That's the intentionality. If we pray like we know we're going to succeed. I bought a chainsaw, battery powered, because I'm going green. And the guy told me when I bought the chainsaw, he says, man, he says, you should be able to cut at least 12 trees down, cut them all up before the battery dies. I called up customer service. I said, man, this saw don't work. I said, I've worked my tail off and I've only been able to cut 3 trees down. They said, did you turn it on? I went out there and they're, oh, that's what that noise is. I tell you this story because just like that chainsaw, our harvest is dependent upon the power behind it. If we don't have power behind us, our harvest will not be to what it needs to be. And so Jesus says, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Did you catch that before? It's not our harvest, it's his harvest. The work has already been done. He's sending us out to gather what he has already prepared. Jesus is telling us, he says, I've already done the work. Go and finish the work. So let us go into the field and gather what Jesus has already prepared for us. That's the easy part, right? Because, hell, you know there's always challenges on the other side, right? Listen to what the challenges are. Verse 3, he says, go your way, behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. But whenever you enter in town and do not receive you into the street, say, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter town and receive you, eat what's set for you. Heal the sick and say to them, kingdom of God has come before you. Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God is near. And I will tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for you. Every time that I have read this passage and I have studied this passage, I think to myself, wow, Jesus, nothing like a little encouragement before you send me out on the road. You're sending me out as lamb among the wolves. Where do I sign up? Sign me up. Wait, what? I'm sending you out as lamb among wolves. Who's ready to go? See? Innocence right there. Those two are. None of us are. None of us want to go knowing and thinking that we're going to have as lambs, we're going to go up against a pack of wolves. But you know what he says? He says, you can go because you have confidence that I have already prepared everything for you. Keep moving forward because I have confidence that if Jesus is sending me, then I have nothing to fear because I am under his blanket of protection. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower. I have nothing that I can be afraid of. Are we any different? Do we not have the same power behind us that Gideon had, that Jonah had? You think back to all those cats in the Old Testament. They struggled. But yet, even in their struggles, they had confidence that God would sustain them and that God would protect them. And you see, God planted Ridgeview Baptist Church in Danville, Illinois, and he moved it from down there to up here. So he planted us right here on this rock for the harvest of the field that's around us. Amen? And he says, go. Do we not have God's promises that he will never leave us? Do we not have God's promise that he will never forsake us? Are these not the same promises that he gave to Moses? And yet Moses Are these not the same promises that he gave to Joshua? Are these not the same promises that he gave to David? Deuteronomy 31:6 said this. It said, "Do not fear or dread of them." Do not fear or be in dread of them. He was talking about the nations that he was going to go up against. He said, don't be afraid of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. And he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. When we try to go under our own power, that's when we have the fears, the doubts, the uncertainties. But when we go knowing that the Lord is with us, suddenly the world doesn't seem like the big, scary place it is. Lambs in a den of wolves. Can I confess something here to you? You know, Christianity is not too popular outside this church, right? You guys know this? Have you heard any rumors like this, that Christianity is just not that popular in the world today? A lot of it we actually bring on ourselves. Knowing all this stuff, we're probably not very willing to go out there and talk about Jesus and talk about our faith. See, we can't do a lot about what other people say of us, but what we can do is walk out in confidence of Jesus and be able to have gospel conversations. And you know how that happens? Jesus gave us his word. He said, go, and when you meet somebody, he said, say to them, I give you my peace. Jesus talks about giving us his peace and being and starting from a place of peace. And then when we start in a place of peace, we start from a place of peace, then peace will not be upon the conversation. If we keep and maintain the focus of peace upon the conversation, remember Jesus says, he says, listen, he says, John 14, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. And then he says this, I'm giving you my peace, so don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Jesus gives us this incredible gift of his peace that we can do his work. And we achieve this peace by the Spirit that he has laid upon us, that we have this wonderful thing. And then he says, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. The gift of the Holy Spirit, man, the power contained within that, the truth contained within that. Listen to what Billy Graham says. He says, the power to proclaim the greatest news in heaven and on earth was not given to heavenly beings, but to those who have been redeemed. You and me have been given this great news, not to angels, men and women who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say this, that the Holy Spirit goes before them, preparing the way, giving us the words and granting us courage. We don't have to fear of all the stuff that's going to come against us. But wait, Pastor, wait. You said that there's wolves and the lake. Oh, man. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that one day the lambs would lie with the wolves. Amen? When we go and we finish the work that has already been started, those wolves will dwell in here with these lambs. Did you hear that? The wolves out there, when we do God's work and we harvest what he's talking about, those wolves will come and dwell with these lambs right here beside us in the church of Christ. I'm going to start to wind this up because we're going to be taking communion today. So I want to share with you something else. Since we're talking about harvest and gardening, I want to share with you a little nugget about a farmer. Goes like this. Says a Georgia farmer was ragged and barefoot, was standing on the steps of his tumbled down shack. And a stranger stopped by asking for a drink of water, and just to pass the time of the day, he asked, "Well, how's your cotton coming along?" "Didn't plant any. I was afraid of boll weevils." "Well," the stranger said, "well, how about your corn?" "No, didn't plant no corn either. Afraid there wasn't going to be enough rain." "Well, potatoes, did you plant potatoes?" "Nope, can't say that I did. I'm scared of potato bugs." He said, "Really?" He said, "What did you plant?" Farmer looked back. He says, "Nothing. I just played it safe." There are challenges, but we have to make a choice. You see, if we just take to play it safe, we'll reap nothing. But if we go and tell the kingdom of God is near, we can reap the harvest. Our passage today talks about roughly the same number of people that are in the sent out that's in this church today. It said they were followers of Jesus, and they believed in Jesus, and they trusted in his teaching. They trusted in his power and his authority. Is that us? He gave them assignment, and he warned them of the challenges they would face. And then, knowing everything that was, they still went. How amazing is that? They still went. And then he sent them out with instructions: "Go and trust me." Last week we had Joe in here, and we were talking about how NASA, when he said go, we talked about how that meant it's safe to proceed, it's safe to go to the next step, it's safe, we can go, we can do, because it's okay. Today we're going to celebrate communion, and as my deacons start to come forward today, shall I try that again? As my deacons come forward today, as we get ready to celebrate communion, I want us to be reminded that. Of God the Father saying to God the Son, he said, "Go, Jesus, remember, go and save my people. Go and save my people." And so as we start to prepare to take communion right now, what we're going to do during this time, right, we want to reflect that Christ still with Christ, right? Our Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he was still offering salvation to anyone who would hear him. Think of the blood that was shed for the last and final atonement of the sin of mankind. And as we partake of these elements, commit yourselves to going for Christ, knowing that you're safe in the arms of Jesus. After all, he does promise that the wolf will lie with the lamb.